Brady. Cool. Stay cool. All right. All right, buddy. There you go. All right. Well, I had a joke at the first service, but it bombed, so I'm going with the other one. So this guy, this visitor comes in the middle of the sermon. He sits on the back row. There's a gray-haired man in front of him, and he says, "How long has this guy been preaching?" And the elderly man says, 30 or 40 years. And with that, the visitor says, "Well, I guess he'll be finishing soon." Anyhow, hey, has anybody ever mismanaged their funds? Anybody ever have a bounced check? You know, anybody ever say, "Oh my goodness, how could we have spent that?" Ever regret something you bought? How many have joined a gym and never used their membership? Joined one in Texas with a pool so I could swim. Never got in the water. A year later. How about a book club? Get those books every 6 weeks. You get two of them. Right? The price is great at the end of the year. Yeah, you maybe read a few pages of one of them, right? Now, we've all done it, haven't we? We've all done it. We've all mismanaged our resources, our funds. Nobody's got that down perfectly. In fact, when I hear Dave Ramsey on the radio, I get to another channel as quickly as I can. I don't want to hear about envelopes and taking a third job. And, you know, Dave's right, you know, but it's hard. It's a hard area. And this whole area of money, when we talk in churches about it, it's difficult. But I love this parable today. I learned so much in studying it and hope to share with you what I did learn today because it's poignant. And, you know, there's so many ways to become overly concerned with money. Think about it if you're going to retire. There's all these ads, you know. How far will your retirement take you? The stuff you've saved, 5 years, 10 years, 6 years, whatever. They scare us, right? They create fear, uncertainty, and doubt in the hearer or the viewer, to where, oh my goodness, we could never have enough saved up. But Jesus warned us in Luke chapter 12. He says, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist, get this, in the abundance of possessions." We would know that from the amount of self-storage units going up in Layton, Utah, because they are everywhere. Because why? We have so much stuff. In Texas, everybody had garages, two-car garages, and the cars were always out on the street because the garages were full. And then they also had climate-controlled storage units as well. So I understand it. But Paul tells us that if people pursue money, there can be the love of money that's the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. That's a stern warning, isn't it? Money can pull us away from our faith if we pursue it, if we go after it hard. We might have a lot in common with this financial manager in Luke chapter 16 that I read about. We too at times have mismanaged our Lord's possessions as well. I say that they're our Lord's possessions because everything is a gift from Him. From our salvation, for by grace He is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It is a gift. To the salt on our table, right? Every good and perfect gift is from above. Timothy says in 1 Timothy 6, God gives us all things richly to enjoy. So how do we balance this? How do we balance this? Well, hopefully we can get there. Everything's a gift from God. We have to see it that way. If we don't realize that and forget how God wants us to use our possessions for our benefit and His glory, we certainly have a lot of bills to pay. It takes a lot to live. We've got to use them for our benefit, but we can't live out His glory in the process. Like the prodigal son who wasted his father's resources, this man wasted his boss's resources. The message puts it this way. He, the rich man, got reports that the manager had been taking advantage of his position by running up huge personal expenses. So he called him in and said, "What's this I hear about you? You're fired. And I want a complete audit of your books." The Lord God, who owns everything and allows us to be stewards for Him, could call us in as well, couldn't He? And say, "You're fired. I'm taking it all from you." But He doesn't. He doesn't. We can come to him and say, Father, I've sinned. I've not used the possessions you've given me to your glory and honor. I've only thought about myself. I've been selfish with it. I really don't care about anybody else. I just care about myself. But here's the good news. He will forgive us. And we get another crack at it and another crack. He's not the God of second chances. He's the God of 2,000, 100 million chances, right? I mean, endless chances. Well put, Peg, well put. The God of endless chances. All he asks is that we agree with him that what we're doing is not what he wants us to do. And so he doesn't fire us, and that is very good news. But no second chances with this boss. No. He had heard enough. And Jesus lets us in on this guy's self-talk. He says, what shall I do since my master is taking the management away from me? He begins to panic. He said, I'm too old to dig. I'm too weak to dig. And I'm ashamed to beg. So what am I going to do? And then he comes up with a plan. He hasn't had his last day in the office yet. He hasn't had anybody come in and say, just walk out. We'll box yourself up and send it to you. That's what corporations do in certain situations. Not kind, not very nice. But he figures out something so that he can do this. He thinks, maybe I can live with some of my master's clients who owe him money. Maybe they'll take me in because he realizes he's not even going to have a place to stay if he loses his job. He gets the bigger picture now. He didn't get the bigger picture earlier. He just took his master's money and spent it any way he wanted. Probably pilfered some for himself, scraped a little off the top or whatever. But he wasn't getting the big picture. He was only thinking about the immediate, the here and now. He wasn't thinking about the then and there. And so he says, if I reduce these folks' debt, what they owe my master, then maybe they'll let me stay with them when I'm out of a place to live. So he asks them who have outstanding debts, what they owe. First one says he owes them 1,000 barrels of oil, and he says, hey, cut it down to 500. The other guy, 500 of wheat, and he tells him to reduce it by 20%. So what a deal, huh? How does he get to do that, though? And he's been fired, yet not had his last day, so he still had some authority. What's strange is his boss commends him for what he did. The rich man commends him. He said, you acted shrewdly. Now, why did he commend him? Because the boss has just lost money, has he not? He reduced the debt. So why would the boss commend him? That doesn't make any sense. This guy's also seen as a dishonest manager for what he did. Jesus says that in verse 8, but I think it's a reference more to verse 1, that he's pilfering, he's misspending. It's not that this is a dishonest practice. What he's done, more than likely, so that I have made sense of this parable, is that he's taken his commission out of the debt. So think about this. He takes his commission out of the debt, but we just bought a home, and I can't tell you how many financial people were involved in that process. It's only 3,000 pages to initial or sign, and I have dysgraphia, so you know nobody could understand what I wrote, you know, at this age. But so they wouldn't know that the manager had taken the money out of the deal. They would know that the rich man possibly had reduced their debt. So the rich man says, you've acted shrewdly. How come? Well, now the people think good things of the rich man. Whereas before, they probably hated the guy. Now, like, man, he reduced my debt by 50%. He reduced my debt by 20%. Wow, this guy is shrewd, the manager, is he not? Perhaps they'll let me stay with them once I'm fired. Shrewd means prudent or to act wisely. It's an interesting word. We get to this thing where he's seen as dishonest. He was dishonest, but not in this situation. He reduced the commission. And the manager got the bigger picture, got it very, very well. And he embodied shrewd. The Greek word phronimos means prudent or wise. The English dictionary definition is having or showing sharp powers of judgment. So ultimately, the manager gave up what he could have had now and gave it to others so he could receive later. That's the point of the parable. We've all got enough to live on, do we not? We've got enough to live on. And we can just use it for the here and now and build, you know, bigger everything. Or will we also use it to where it has lasting, eternal benefit? We have to give up what we can have now for something greater later. Jesus goes on to say, for the sons of the world, unbelievers, are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light believers. He's saying people of the world, unbelievers, think about how they use their resources and the long-term benefits of those resources. They get the bigger picture more than believers do, because the bigger picture for believers is a little different. The bigger picture for believers is eternity. It's eternal life, right? And what we do here can impact that there. Jesus says here, we need to get the bigger picture and use our worldly wealth to gain friends, to be gracious to them, to love them, to show them the love of Christ, to use our wealth for eternal purposes as well as for our benefit. He says in verse 9, and I tell you, when you run out of money or when it fails because of your generosity, like the manager who needed a place to land, we will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Now, Jesus is not saying that we merit heaven by our generosity. He's not saying that. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is none righteous, no, not one. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each has gone to his own way. But the Lord God has laid on the Messiah the iniquities of us all. Salvation was purchased for us by Christ and given to us as a free gift received by faith. So he's not saying we merit heaven. So what is he saying? Remember in Matthew 6 when he said, hey, don't lay up treasures for yourself on this earth, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. That's what he's saying. That, remember, eternal dwellings. What did Jesus say? I go and prepare a place for you. In my Father's house there are many rooms. Right? And so I know it's translated mansion too in some places as well. I'm hoping to have a little shack over there somewhere in the corner. But anyhow, Jesus is talking about this. He's given us disposable income, has he not? We all have disposable income. Let's not deny that. We've got it. God's been good to us, and he wants us to enjoy that disposable income. I know what season's coming up, and I know Larry Isaacson, and I know I'm not going to say use all your money for God's purposes and not hunting. Right? Or fishing, or, indict myself, golfing. We need to use some of that money to recreate ourselves, to recreate, to replenish, to restore. God wants us to take a Sabbath, and we do that in all kinds of different ways. The Sabbath wasn't made for God, it was made for man, Jesus said. We can rest and restore ourselves, and we might do that, hunting, fishing, golfing, whatever it is, that's okay. I'm not saying that. Jesus isn't saying that. But if all our money goes to those things all the time, and not to any eternal purposes, be it through this church, be it through Samaritan's Purse, be it through the Red Cross, be it through whatever it is, helping others. You know, the Gideons, getting the gospel out to people. If it never goes in that direction, then our focus is short-sighted and narrow, and it's not eternal. And that's all Jesus is saying here. Have that eternal perspective with your worldly wealth. You don't have to stop hunting and fishing and all those things. But he says, we have freely received, now freely give. He said that to the apostles. And so, if none of our money goes to those eternal purposes, our focus is wrong. A couple visiting in Korea saw a father and his son working in a rice paddy. The old man guided the heavy plow as the boy pulled it. I guess they must be very poor, the man said to his missionary guide. Yes, replied the missionary, that's the true family of Chai Nevi. When the church was built, they were eager to give something to it, but they had no money. So they sold their ox and gave the money to the church. This spring, they're pulling the plow themselves. After a long silence, the woman said, that's a real sacrifice. The missionary responded, they don't call it a sacrifice. They're just thankful they had an ox to sell. We have so much. Are we as thankful that we have things to give back to the Lord, not to be saved, but to further his purpose, to demonstrate his love, to show his mercy, to be grace-giving people? May we get the bigger picture, the eternal picture, and be thankful we have so much to give. In Matthew 10, verses 7 and 8, Jesus told the apostles, and he says the same to us this morning, freely you've received, freely give. May we use our time, talent, and our treasure for God's eternal purposes and our benefit as well. And all God's people said. Amen.